We've been learning in Ephesians chapter number 4 that there are some things that those who have new life in Christ can now put away. And the reason why is because the old man is dead in Christ. So you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are no longer what we used to be. And that is that what we used to be was a life of blindness and a life of vanity, a life of darkness, a life of uncleanness and corruption. But when God saved us, all of that part of our life was put to death. The old man put to death, and we were raised a brand new person in Christ. And the new creation that we became is created in righteousness and holiness. And it is a life of Christ living on the inside of us and us positioned in Him. And as a result of that, there are some things connected to the old life that need to be put away and they need to be kept put away. And we have a whole list of things here in Ephesians 4 and again in Colossians 3. And one of them is anger. And that is, we've been discovering that our common human experience of anger, ladies and gentlemen, can oftentimes lead to sin in our lives. And for that reason, Paul commands us in Ephesians 4:26 to be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That is, anger that leads to sin is one of those things that needs to be put away in our lives. This kind of anger that rises on the inside of us as we journey through life is an emotion that demands to be expressed, whether it be in our countenance or in our conversation and what we say or in our conduct, in the way that we react and act. It is an emotion that demands to be expressed. That is anger that rises on the inside of us. And it's for that reason that you and I have got to deal with the problem of anger that leads to sin. And we need to deal with it as quickly as possible. It's not something that we should put off or try to justify, but should recognize that this kind of anger is a real problem in our life. And it needs to be dealt with quickly. That's why the Bible says here, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We've been looking at this problem of anger, that is anger that leads to sin, and why it is we need to be putting it away. I talked to you about what I call the revelation about anger, and we just took a journey through the Bible. Some of the statements in Scripture about anger reveals a lot about it. And also some of the stories in the Bible also reveals a lot about where anger leads to, that is where it led to in the lives of those who experienced it. There were those who were angry and it led to great destruction and even murder. There were those who were angry and it led to distraction, that is they stopped listening to God and the Word of God and the man of God because they were angry. It led to distrust in some of the stories that we looked at. It led to disobedience. There are people who disobeyed God because they were angry. We read some stories in the Bible where anger actually led to distress. And that is, there are those who became so depressed, they were praying for God to end their lives. They didn't want to live any longer. And the reason why is because the anger on the inside of them towards others actually turned on them and against them and caused them great distress. That's how anger works. And we learned that as we were looking at the revelation about anger. I also preached to you about the roots of anger. And that is, we tried to discover where anger is rooted in and what it grows out of. And we discovered it is the world and the flesh and the devil. That is, ladies and gentlemen, where the roots of anger lead to is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world around us that is so corrupt, our people that are corrupt, societies that are corrupt. We discovered it's our own flesh, our own sinful nature. It is also the devil. He uses anger to find an open door into our life. And that's the reason why the next verse in Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Because one of the ways that we give place or room for the devil to operate in our life is through anger. Anger is rooted not just in the chemicals within us, and not just in the circumstances around us, and not just in the choices made by us, although all of those can be contributing factors. But listen to me now, it's rooted even deeper than that. It's rooted in the world, the flesh, and the devil. We spend some time looking at each one of these three roots individually and how to deal with them. And so for the last several services, we've been trying to discover what I call the remedy for anger. And that is, we've been trying to find out whether or not there is a remedy for this problem of anger that leads to sin in our lives. And we've discovered that there is really a remedy to the problem of anger. And ladies and gentlemen, we found out it's not something, but it's someone. And that is the anger, that is the remedy for the problem of anger is none other than our Lord Himself. Jesus really is the remedy. Jesus really is the answer to the problem of anger. Our struggle with anger that leads to sin is only completely and fully solved in Christ. It's solved in Him. Again, I know that's a simplistic answer to what can be a complicated issue. And that is that there are many factors that cause people to become angry, and some of them are very difficult circumstances in people's lives. And I'm not trying to minimize any of that, and I'm not trying to minimize any of the attempts to deal with anger that our world tries to do. But I want to say to you that the only real answer, the only remedy that really lasts is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He's the only one, ladies and gentlemen, who has overcome the world. He is the only one, ladies and gentlemen, who has never yielded to sinful flesh. He is the only one who has destroyed the works of the devil. And therefore, He is the only answer there is to this problem of anger that is rooted in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now listen, we've been trying to discover that if Jesus is the answer, if He's the remedy for the problem of anger, then why do Christians who know the Lord still struggle with anger? And I've said to you the reason why is because while the remedy is available to us in Christ, it has to be appropriated by us if we're going to live in victory over anger. And that is that you can have $1 million, but if you don't use that money to pay your bills, you're still going to be in trouble when it comes to somebody shutting off your electricity or shutting off your water. And even so in Christ, and that is that God has made you wealthy and rich in Christ, provided everything you need in Him, but you have to understand and appropriate what it is that God has provided for you. And we've been trying to discover then what it is that I have in Christ. That is, what is it about Jesus and my relationship to Him that I need to understand and appropriate in my life if I'm going to get victory over anger and find the remedy for the problem of anger that leads to sin? We've discovered, number one, there is the position of the saints. You and I have got to understand that we are no longer who we used to be, that we have been repositioned. We're no longer in Adam, but now we are in Christ, and that changes everything. Listen to me. Now, you've got to understand this. Don't just doze off when I'm preaching about your position in Christ. You've got to learn this or you'll never walk in victory in your life. Understanding who you are now that you are in Christ. Because understanding who you are will determine, ladies and gentlemen, the direction that you take in life and the decisions that you make in life. And understanding that I am now in Christ, and in Christ I'm a brand new creature, and the old me has passed away and is dead, so everything that was connected to the old me can be put away. Like you put away the things connected to a deceased person, put all of that away, and I've got a brand new life and a brand new direction in life that does not include anger that leads to sin. Putting away anger. That is, understanding our position, that is the position of the saints, is important when it comes to being able to get victory over anger. The second thing that we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to understand and appropriate is the peace of the Son. And that is that when you got saved, God's peace became a living reality in your life. You entered into a relationship of peace with God. And listen to me, not only peace with God, but the peace of our Lord became a living reality abiding on the inside of you. That is the peace that He paid for at the cross. He is our peace. And the peace that the Spirit of God brought into our life, you can walk in peace. Listen to me now. You don't have to be full of anger and turmoil on the inside. You can be full of peace if you've been redeemed by the grace of God. You can walk in peace. You can live in peace. You can have the peace that passes all understanding. And I spent some time preaching about that in a previous message. I preached also about the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is not only is the position of the saints and the peace of the Son, but then there is the power of the Spirit. The Bible says right here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, not to grieve the Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If you'll stop grieving the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, He'll fill you with the character of Christ. There's the fruit of the Spirit that will dominate your life. Listen to me now. There is indeed forgiveness that will dominate your life if you'll stop quenching or grieving the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you wants to dominate your life. Paul wrote here in Ephesians 5:18, not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means this. That means that you don't have to have an inner man that is full of anger. Listen, you don't have to have an inner man that is full of discouragement. You don't have to have an inner man, ladies and gentlemen, that is full of despondency and bitterness, but you can be filled with the Holy Spirit on the inside of your being. Now, you need to understand that. That is, if you're full of anger, then listen to me now, it's completely unnecessary. You can get victory over that. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you can help you, ladies and gentlemen, overcome anger and be dominated by Him. The answer, the remedy to our problem of anger is the power of the Spirit living on the inside of us. There's nobody that knows our soul like the Spirit of God. Nobody. There's not a counselor, there's not a pastor, there's not a church. Listen to me now. There's nobody who can do on the inside of us in our inner man what the Spirit of God can do. If you'll allow Him to dominate your life, listen to me now. Listen, if you'll allow Him to fill you and dominate you, He can do in a second what it'll take the greatest counselor weeks and months and years to be able to accomplish or even attempt to accomplish in your life. The Spirit of God, allow Him to dominate, get surrendered to Him and yielded to Him. So there is the position of the saints and the peace of the Son, and there's the power of the Spirit. But if you and I are going to be able to experience the remedy that God has provided for us in Christ, then, ladies and gentlemen, we also need to understand and appropriate the promises of the Scripture. The promises of the Scripture. In the book of Colossians, in chapter number 3, we were kind of looking around there a little bit in some previous messages, but listen to verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That is, the Bible tells us here that one of the things that you and I need to understand and appropriate to our life is the Word of God, that is the Scriptures. Now remember, Paul has been writing to the Colossians about getting victory over the corruption that characterized their lives before they got saved. And one of the things that he wrote about in Colossians 3, like he did in Ephesians 4, is anger. Look at verse number 8. It says, but now you also put off all these. You and I looked at these individually in the previous messages. But here's what you need to put off. The first one, the first thing on the list is anger. And then wrath. And then malice. And then blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. And lying, lie not one to another. Verse number 9. Seeing that you put off the old man. Hey, in light of the fact that the old man is dead, you put off the old man and his deeds. Then these are the things. Since the old man is dead and buried, then you need to get rid of all of his stuff. And his stuff is anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. And lying. You put off the old man, and verse number 10 says, you put on the new man. The new man is renewed or made new in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. In other words, a new man is being made more and more like Jesus all the time. The Creator, that is our Lord Himself, that has put off the old man, that's from the past, and put on the new. That's the idea. And the Bible says here, one of the things that we need to put off is anger. And so the question comes up, how do we put off the old, such as anger, and put on the new that is like love? Verse 14, above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. So how do we do that? How do we put off the old that is like anger and put on the new that is put on love? Well, one of the ways that we do that, verse 15, is by letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And I preached out of that verse a couple or three services ago. And there's like God's peace that lives in you, letting it dominate your inner man. If you'll allow God's peace to dominate your inner man, anger cannot. But secondly, notice in verse number 16 that I just read to you, it's by letting the Word of God, the Word of Christ dwell in you. It's not only the peace of Christ that is ruling in your hearts, verse 15, but it's by letting the Word of Christ dwell in you, verse number 16. That's how you put off the old and put on the new. That's how you put off anger and walk in love. Now listen, we already know that as believers, we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in our hearts. And we have the peace of Christ dwelling in our hearts, according to verse number 15. But now Paul writes about the Word of Christ dwelling in us. We'll say that again in case you missed it. We already know we have the Spirit of Christ living in us. And we already know we have the peace of God in our hearts. But did you know that you have the Word of Christ also dwelling on the inside of you? Well, that's what the Bible says, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, the Bible says. The Word of Christ dwelling on the inside of us. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how that can be. Well, listen to me now. You received the Word at your conversion. That is, according to the New Testament, when God saved you, you received the Word. Listen to what it says on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, in verse number 41, the Bible says this, that after Peter got done preaching on the day of Pentecost, they said, what do we need to do to be saved? And Peter told them to repent, and after you repent, you need to get baptized. And he affirmed this promises for all the generations. Verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added to them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. And after they got saved, they got baptized. But did you notice the wording there? The Bible says that those who got saved that day, that what they did was they received the Word. The Word at their conversion. They received the Word. By the way, there's another New Testament church that we also read about that had the same experience. That is, when they got saved, when these believers got saved, they received the Word. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, Paul is writing to the believers in the city of Thessalonica, a church that was started on his second missionary journey. And as he's writing to them, he's remembering that time when he came to Thessalonica, preached the gospel, and they got saved. Listen to him, remember. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, he says this, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Listen to me now. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, what happened when they got saved? Well, the Bible says here they received the Word. That is, at their conversion. They not only received the joy of the Holy Spirit, but they received the Word as well. When they got saved, the Thessalonians. Paul explains it further in chapter number 2 of the same book of verse 13 when he says this. He writes, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Paul says, I can't stop thanking God for you, and here's why. Because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually, that is, it's powerfully, mightily working also in you that believe. He's remembering when he came to Thessalonica. And he says, when I remember back, I can't stop thanking God for you. He's saying, because when I came to the city of Thessalonica and I began to preach the Word of God to you all, you received it as it is, not just the Word of men, but you received it as the Word of God. When they got saved, they received the Word, the Bible tells us here. They heard the Word and they received the Word of God. The Bible, Peter tries to explain it to us a little bit in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23 about how this works, about how it is that we receive the Word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we've been born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Those of you who have been born again, you've been born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh, that is our human life, is like grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. And that is, the grass withers and the flower thereof falleth away. That is, our life and the best that we can experience in life is like grass that grows and flowers, and that before long the flower is dead and the grass is drying up. That's about as good as it gets for humanity. But I tell you, the Bible says here, the word of the Lord endures forever. And the word that he's talking about, verse 25, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, he's saying when the gospel was preached to you, it was planted on the inside of your heart like the seed that is planted in the womb of a woman that brings about conception and a birth. The word of God was planted in you, received on the inside, the gospel received on the inside of you that brought about the new birth. You remember, don't you? I remember. Don't you remember? I'll never forget when God dealt with my heart. And the reason why God dealt with my heart, ladies and gentlemen, is because my family went to a small little Baptist church there in the town that I was raised. And from a time I can remember as a little boy, we sat in Sunday school class and listened to Sunday school lessons being taught by mostly the ladies of the church. And I remember growing up in that church, and the pastor would get up here and he'd preach. And I remember having revival meetings, and these evangelists would come and they would begin to preach. And I remember one particular revival that stirred me on the inside to an awareness on the inside of me that something was desperately wrong. And even though I'd walked the aisle as a small child and had prayed and cried a bucket of tears and said that I was saved, I knew something wasn't right. And then here came the preaching of the gospel during a revival meeting, and a man of God was up there preaching, and God began to move, and people started getting saved. As a matter of fact, about 30 or 40 people got saved during that revival meeting in that little church. And those who got saved, listen to me now, they were happy about it. Now, I didn't know you're supposed to be happy about being saved. But something happened on the inside of them that was real and lasting. And listen, there wasn't anything in me real and lasting. And I knew it. And it's because of the preaching of the gospel that my heart was pricked by the Holy Spirit. A seed was planted on the inside of me. That is, I saw and heard and experienced something I never had before. And all of a sudden now, I came to an awakening in my own soul, an awakening to my own lost condition. I'd have never known that I was lost if somebody hadn't come and preached the word of God in that little church like that. If God hadn't moved through the word and spoken to people's hearts, I'd have never known that I was lost. I would have went through life thinking that all that life was, ladies and gentlemen, is what the lost world says that it is. I'd have never known there was something else. I'd have went through life thinking that I was a pretty good boy and a pretty good person and growing up thinking I was a pretty good guy. But listen to me now, on that day and on the months and weeks following, I realized how desperately lost I was and separated from God that I was. And I got so broken before God, and the pastor kept preaching, and my family kept going to church, and I wanted to get away from it. I wanted to run from it, but I couldn't get away. And God just kept dealing with me, and the word of God just kept working on the inside of me until he brought me to a point of brokenness before him, and I got saved. Finally got so broken that all I could do was just cry out to the Lord and trust in his son and what he did for me. What I want you to see is the word of God did that. And that is, I received the word. I received the truth of the word of God that I was a lost sinner. I received the truth finally. I got to the point as a lost sinner, broken, that I believed and received the truth about Jesus. You've heard me say it before, and I hate to keep repeating myself, but it's the moment that changed everything. Down in the altar of that church, I was broken, 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 crying out to God. My pastor was there, and I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to save me. I wanted to be saved worse than anything. I'd have done anything to get saved that day. Finally, after a little while of me weeping and crying out to God and the altar of the church during the invitation, the pastor opened his Bible and just showed me from the word of God what Jesus did for me. Now, I'd heard that so many times, But when you're broken over your sin and lost and desperate for God to save you, it seems like that you really begin to hear it then. That is what Jesus did for me. The price that he paid. While I was yet a sinner, he loved me and gave himself for me. And however God the Holy Spirit does it, my heart was able to rest in what Jesus did that day. It wasn't about me praying a certain prayer, certain words. It was all about what he did. And finally, I was able to rest and trust in him alone. And that's when the battle was over. That's when my soul was settled. That's when the assurance came. And I knew that he'd save me. You know what it was? It was the Word of God. I just simply received the Word of God, what God said about his Son and what he did for me on that day. Listen, that's what happens at conversion. We receive the Word. And then listen to me now. Not only do we receive the Word at our conversion, but then we remain in the Word through our church. Paul writes here in Colossians 3:16 about believers teaching and admonishing one another. And that is after you receive the Word, that is at your conversion, then you remain in the Word because of the ministry of a local church, where believers are teaching and admonishing one another, according to Colossians 3:16. Oh yeah, I'm so thankful to God that I was able to be in a church like that. And that is after I got saved. I was 13 years old and I got saved. I was in the youth group at that time, and we had a teacher in the youth group as a pastor's wife. She taught the youth group, and boy, she taught the Word of God to us, and I'm so thankful to God that she did. Had a pastor get up and preach every Sunday. Now, listen to me now. We didn't have the kind of ministries that we have here at Eastern Gate. And that is when we gathered on a Wednesday night, there wasn't any Awana clubs. There was no youth or anything like that. We sat in the sanctuary just like you are tonight and heard the pastor preach. And there was no children's church, and that is the kids sat in the Sunday morning service. We did have some Sunday school classes for all of us to go to, and I'm so thankful to God for that. But we heard the Word of God taught and the Word of God preached, and God helped me as a new believer who just got saved to remain in the Word because of the teaching and admonishing that went on in the life of that little church. Now I'm going to say to you, and I know you already know this already, but there's not anything in church life, in modern church life or contemporary church life, there's not anything that takes the place of the teaching and admonishing of believers to one another. Nothing ever will. Nothing ever will. That is, there's no lighting system. There's no smoke system. Listen to me now. There's no amount of music that's going to take the place of God's people teaching and admonishing one another. We sure do. See, we receive the Word at our conversion. We remain in the Word through our church. You get away from the church and you're away from the Word. Say it again. If you get away from the church, you will be away from the Word. You say, well, Pastor, I can go out in the woods and study my Bible, but you're not going to. You say, well, I'll stay in the Word, I'll listen to it on the radio, but you probably won't. You get away from church and you will be away from the Word. And by the way, what you hear on the radio is connected to a local church somewhere. What I'm trying to describe to you is how we remain in the Word. We receive the Word at our conversion. The Word of God now lives on the inside of us. We believe it and receive the revelation of God. We remain in the Word through our church, and then we rejoice in the Word because of Christ. Paul writes here in Colossians 3:16 about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now listen, these songs that he's talking about here, psalms, ladies and gentlemen, are the Psalms. And that is, they are the Word of God set to music, which was a common way to worship in biblical times. And then there are hymns. Hymns, ladies and gentlemen, are poems that were put together that reflect Bible truth that also were sung by the early church. We have hymns that we sing today. There's many of them are poems that have been set to music that we still sing today. And then there are spiritual songs. I like to think of spiritual songs as being those songs in which the writer is testifying about their experience with the Lord. And even so, we sing those kinds of songs like we do when we sing songs like Amazing Grace that, ladies and gentlemen, revealed the testimony of a dear man who encountered God. What I'm trying to describe to you is one of the ways that, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I rejoice in the Word and is because of these songs that we sing, songs that reflect the truth of Scripture, songs that we can remember and help us to rejoice in the Word. We sing them with rejoicing in our hearts, with melody in our hearts, because they reflect the truth of God. We receive the Word at our conversion. We remain in the Word through our church. We rejoice in the Word because of Christ. But you may have noticed here in Colossians 3:16 that it's not just receiving the Word, it's not just remaining in the Word, it's not just rejoicing in the Word, but Paul also writes here about the richness of the Word. Did you see it? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, we shouldn't skip that. And that is the idea of letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. The word richly there is describing something that's abundant. And that is, those who are rich are those who have an abundance of something. That is, if we, many times we use this word to describe somebody who has a certain amount of assets or money, and we think of them as those who have an abundance of wealth, if we describe them as being rich. Well, listen, those who let the Word of God dwell in them richly, it means that they have an abundance of the Word living on the inside of them. It's the idea of being filled up and overflowing with the Word of God. It's the picture of our inner man filled up and overflowing with the Word of Christ. Listen to me now, the Word of God dominating our inner man. Just like you'll see in verse 15, the peace of God ruling or dominating your inner person. Now we read in verse 16 about the Word of God dwelling in us richly or in abundance or dominating our inner person. The Word of God dwelling in you richly. Now listen to me now. There's no place for anger to dominate this kind of a heart. And that is, when the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, it's going to help you with the problem of anger. It sure will. If you let the Word of God live in you, if you receive the Word, remain in the Word, rejoice in the Word, and let the Word of God dwell in you richly, abundantly, fill you, I mean, your life filled with the Word of God. Listen, your mind full of the Word, so that the Word of God is what you're thinking about all day long. And I know you got to think about other things, but while you're thinking about them, you're thinking about the Word. While you're working, you're quoting Scripture or singing a gospel song that reflects the Word. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And the Word of God, just every time, every moment that you have, you're either reading the Word or listening to the Word being taught, you're just filling your mind, filling your heart with the Word of God so that it dwells in you richly. Now, you may have noticed here in Colossians 3:16 that if we're going to experience the Word of God dwelling in us richly, then we're going to have to let it happen. You might have seen the little word let at the beginning of that verse. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, this is something that you and I have to allow to happen in our life. You got to let it happen. And you should. You say, well, I don't know how to let it happen. Why don't you just start reading the Word of God? Why don't you start listening to the Bible? I mean, listening to the Word of God being preached and listening to it being taught. Why wouldn't you want to be in a Bible study on Sundays or on Wednesdays? Why wouldn't you want to be in church every time you can be to hear the Word of God? Why wouldn't you want to open up a Bible and study it to find out what it means for yourself? Why wouldn't you want to meditate on the Word? You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. I'm talking about thinking about it, that is tossing it over and over in your mind. Why wouldn't you want to go away from a service like this on a Wednesday night and take the Word of God that you've heard tonight and just wallow it around in your mind and in your heart and think about it for a while? Just meditate on it and just keep on doing that. Letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. You've got to let that happen. You say, well, Pastor, I just wish God would just zap me and fill me with the Word of God. But listen to me now. It might be that you need to be taking some steps for that to happen in your life. Maybe instead of looking for a zap from God, you just need to get into the Word yourself and let the Spirit of God operate through the Scriptures to fill you and dominate you. You say, well, Pastor, I read the Bible, but I don't seem to be doing much good. Why don't you do a little bit of studying and dig a little deeper and try to find out not just what that passage says, but why don't you do a little digging and try to find out what it means? And then why don't you go online and just look on our website and try to find out when it was that passage was preached here at Eastern Gate, because you might be able to look at a tag and find out and be able, ladies and gentlemen, to learn even more. That is, listen to that message. And by the way, while you're doing it, you might also just want to try memorizing some Scripture. You say, Pastor, now you crossed the line. I mean, reading the Bible is one thing and doing a little bit of studying, you know, is something else. But I can't memorize the Bible. Sure you can. Sure you can. I mean, unless there's something really medically wrong with you, you can. I'd bet you everybody in this room and everybody listening to me remembers some little commercial jingle from when you were a kid. If I brought one up, you'd say, I remember that. And you'd be able to sing that little jingle. And the reason why is because of the fact you heard it over and over again as you watched whatever television channel that you were watching. Or you might remember the little song that began your favorite show. And that is maybe a show that you watched when you were growing up. And you can remember the little song or even the music that started that show. It's still stuck in there because you heard it. You haven't heard it for years, but you heard it over and over again. The reason why is because God wired your mind together and you on the inside so that you're able to remember. Now listen, if you can remember how to operate a cell phone, you can memorize Scripture. If you can remember some little jingle, advertising jingle from the past, you can memorize Scripture. If you can remember how to operate an automobile, you ought to be able to memorize Scripture. If you can remember how to get to your workplace, if you can remember how to get to your favorite shopping place, and I guarantee you can, you ought to be able to memorize some Scripture. You say, I don't know how to do it. Well, you just repeat it over and over again. Most of you know John 3:16, or at least pretty well know John 3:16, because you were in a Sunday school class or vacation Bible school or Bible study where just you had to memorize that verse. You just keep going over and over it. And you know what? Before long, you'll start memorizing some Scripture. Let me just say this to you. There's not anybody in this room that's too old to memorize Scripture. Nobody. Nobody. It just takes focus on the Word so that you can get this in your mind. Read it and find out what it says. Study it and find out what it means. And then memorize it so you don't forget it. Some of you know this Scripture, and that is a soft answer. Turns away wrath. Some of you already know that. But listen, if you don't, it'd be a good one to just get memorized. And that is about the time you get mad on the inside and you're about ready to let somebody have it. All of a sudden you remember a soft answer turns away wrath. And so you back her off just a little bit and you respond in a soft way instead of an angry way. Somebody shared with me just a few days ago, said, Pastor, this series of messages really helped me. And the reason why is because I was in a situation where I was anger was building on the inside of me, on the inside of me, and on the inside of me. And about that time, I remembered those words and said, the answer is Jesus. And about the time I remembered those words, that the answer or the remedy to the problem of anger is Jesus. And I said it out loud. The anger settled down on the inside of me. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I allow the Word of God to fill us and keep on filling us richly, if you'll let that happen, it'll help you with anger. You may have noticed here in Colossians 3:16 that those who let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly will experience wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You'll experience wisdom. That is, instead of a life characterized by wrath and anger, you'll have a life that is characterized by wisdom. You say, Pastor, I don't know what wisdom is. Well, let me just say that wisdom many times, ladies and gentlemen, is just the awareness of what to do and what to say and what not to do and not to say. Some of you have gotten really angry. And most of the time, when we're angry, wisdom goes out the back door. And we say the dumbest things and act in the most outrageous ways. As a matter of fact, what we look like when we respond in anger, what we look like is a bunch of preschoolers. instead of adults who have some wisdom about them. If you'll get into the Word and let it dwell in you richly, you can be full of wisdom instead of full of wrath. You'll be able to know how to respond when you find yourself in a situation where you might otherwise react in an ungodly, kindergarten-type way. You can respond with insight and with wisdom. What I'm trying to describe to you is the remedy for anger that leads to sin. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the promises of the Scripture. The Word of God, the Scriptures, dwelling in you richly in all wisdom, that is teaching and admonishing one another, singing with grace and melody in our hearts, to the Word of God dominating our life. So that what's coming out of us is the Word of God. Not anger, but the Word. Now listen. Somebody said one time, what's in the well is what's going to come up. You all understand that? Most of you do, because you know what a well is like, right? And that is, some of you don't, but let me just put it this way. Whatever's in the faucet's what's going to come out for some. Whatever's down in the well, that's what, when you go to pumping on a well, it's whatever's in there is what's going to come up. You turn on the faucet, whatever's in there. When you dump the jug, whatever's in the jug is what's going to come out. And even so, your life as well. When the pressure gets on you, see, that's why a well works, and that is when you start pumping on a well, the pressure is what forces the water up out of the well. And when the pressure gets put on you, you find yourself in a tense, pressure-filled situation, what's in you is going to come out. At other times, you might be able to control what comes out of you for the sake of what other people are going to think about you. But when you get under pressure, when somebody is putting pressure on you or something is putting pressure on you, and listen to me now, then what's on the inside of you comes out. And listen, if you're full of anger on the inside, if you're an angry person harboring anger on the inside, it'll come out. It'll come out in your countenance. It'll come out in your conversation. It'll come out in your conduct. And the reason why you're acting that way, you might back up and say, I don't know why I act that way. It's simple, and that is because that's what's on the inside of you. But listen, if you'll put that anger away and you'll let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, then when the pressure gets on, if the Word of God is living, if you've received the Word, you're remaining in the Word, you're dwelling in the richness of the Word, it's living on the inside of you, and you're full of the Word of God on the inside, when the pressure gets on, you find yourself in that pressure-filled situation, then listen to me, what's in you is going to come out. And if the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, that is what is going to come out. It'll come out looking like wisdom. You'll know what to say. You'll know how to react because the Word of God living on the inside of you. You say, I don't know what to do about anger. Why don't you just get into the Word and let the Word get in you? Why don't you commit yourself to a lifetime of living in the Word and letting the Word of God become alive in you. And it'll help you. Listen to me. Turn off the television and get your Bible out. Stop memorizing the world's ungodly songs and start memorizing Scripture. Instead of running to worldly entertainment, why don't you get together with God's people in a little church somewhere where the Word of God is going to be taught and preached? And you'll find yourself starting to get full of the Word on the inside. And as the Word of God fills your life, you can get victory. You can start putting away anger that leads to sin. The promises of the Scripture, the remedy for anger. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your Word and your people and what you're saying to us. How you're working on the inside of us. Lord, I thank you for everyone who is here, their love for the Word of God and Father, I pray that you'll bless them and strengthen them, and those who are listening by other means, and those who may be listening to this message at a later date, I pray that, God, you'll operate upon their hearts. God, that you'll work in us, that you'll deal with us, Father. Help us to get everything surrendered to the Spirit of God and allow Him to fill us with the Word of God. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we know your Word is the answer. We just praise you for it. Thank you for allowing us to have this great privilege of having a copy of the Scriptures. Thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.